So Mark chapter 7, beginning at verse 24 is where we're going to be at. And it says, "And from thence he arose and went to the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into a house, and would have no man know it. But he could not be hid." Aren't you glad that Jesus can't be hid? He was trying to get a little bit of a break. You know, he just fed 5,000 people and tried to go across the sea, and they found him. And now he went up to Tyre, goes into a house, trying to be hid, but Jesus just cannot be hid, no matter what house they put him in. It says, "For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. And the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. She besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone, and her daughter laid upon the bed." Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, I just want to thank you for this passage of scriptures that tells us that you can't be hid. This passage that tells us that all need your help. And I just ask for the guidance of your Holy Spirit this morning that you will help us to be able to understand how to apply these passages to our own personal life, to give us the sight that we need, to give us the willingness like you gave to Jesus, to be able to reach out to those who we may not be associated with, or maybe not even be alike. But Lord, you've just given us such great things. And we just ask for your Holy Spirit to guide us in a better understanding of this passage and be able to apply these words to our own lives. Give us your sight. Give us your feelings whenever we are dealing with those in this world. We ask these in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So we get over here to Jesus. He's up in this house, and this woman comes, and it says that she's Syrophoenician, and she's got a big problem. The problem is her daughter has something inside of her that makes her out of control. The scripture says she has a devil. And she's begging Jesus, "Would you cast out the devil?" And Jesus has already told his disciples, "I'm sent to the Jews right now." To the Jews first. The Apostle Paul would say it was to the Jews first and then to the Greeks. That it wasn't her time yet. It wasn't the Greeks' turn. Yet she realizes something. She needs Jesus. Yes, maybe he was sent to the Jews first, but she's like, "I need you now." And he says, "But I'm not supposed to do it for you yet. I can't just give the children's meat to you right now." And she says, but even the dogs can eat of the crumbs falling from the master's table. So here we have this woman who's in great need. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in great need? Have you ever recognized that fact? Have you ever seen somebody in this great need? In this troubling time, aren't you glad that whenever you come to Jesus, He doesn't just send you away empty-handed? The Scripture will tell us here in Philippians 4, verse 6, it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God." She was looking for a crumb. You know, she's not like so many that we see these days, that they want everything. They want the nicest house. They want the nicest vacations. They want the best schools. She's not looking for that. She just wants her daughter to be healed, that the evil would be cast out of her. And this is her approach. She says, I know who has the answer. And he's in my town. And she goes to him. And she lets her request be known unto God. You know, there's two applications as we look in this passage. There's the passage of this woman. Sometimes we're there. And we're the one in need, standing in the need of prayer. Who is it that's here today who's never been there? That you've never had a need? I'm not talking about a want. I'm talking about a need. You know, we heard Austin's testimony a little bit. Man, he was in need. God knew more about what he needed than what he did. But I bet there was a mom praying for him. I bet there was a grandma praying for him. I bet there was all kinds of people praying for him. Because they recognized the fact there was somebody who had something inside of them that they needed to get rid of. And they were praying for him and lifting him up. This woman, that's what she's doing. She comes to Jesus and she's lifting up to Jesus. My daughter is in need of assistance. She needs help. I can't give her what she needs. Only you can do that. Only you are the provider. If she had come to the preacher, preacher might not have done anything for her. Well, I could pray for you, but I can't do that for you. There's no telling how many people she'd ask, can you help my daughter? How many doctors she's been to? How many medicines that they tried to give to her daughter to calm her down? Nothing would work. But Jesus didn't even have to be there. Because his commanding voice over the powers of darkness, all he has to do is say, it's done. And it is. Just like he said, she knew where to go. She knew the source. She let her request be known unto God. And she didn't come in haughty. Do you recognize that? What does the scripture say that she did? She came in and she fell at his feet. She didn't point her finger at Jesus and say, it's your fault. It's your fault. God, it's your fault that you made me like this. It's your fault that my daughter is having a problem. She didn't do that. She came in broken. And contrite. Isn't that what the scripture says in the Psalms? That those who come to him in that humble and contrite spirit, God doesn't throw them away. Let me read that specific verse to you. In Psalms 34:18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. She was broken. She wasn't trying to cast blame. She was broken. Do you realize that if you're going to come before God with a request, He's not going to answer that high and lofty spirit. He owes you nothing. We live in a world that thinks that everybody owes them something. God owes you nothing. If you died and you went to hell, guess what? You would deserve it. But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes in Him would not perish, but could have everlasting life. So you don't have to go to hell. He recognized your problem before you did, but He owed you nothing. He did it because He is a merciful God. And He works some things in our life. I believe it's Romans 8:28 that says that all things work together for the good of them who love Him, He does those things. All things work together for the good of them who love Him according to His purpose. You see, that's the problem that we have. We think, God, it's all about me. It's my purpose. I wish we knew what happened to that daughter. I bet that woman went back and she says, I met the Savior. I met the one that at the sound of His voice, evil has to flee. Evil has to run away. And she told her daughter about it. And I bet she raised her daughter in the love and the admonition of the Lord. I wish I knew what she did later on. Because she was willing to go to Jesus, broken, fall down at her knees, at His feet, on her knees, begging Him, Lord, would You save my daughter? The problem is so many people, they're not broken because of the evil in their life. They think they're owed something. And you know what Jesus would have done if she had maintained that attitude? He would have just let her walk away. He almost did anyway, didn't He? He was seeking her heart. What is in your heart? And He says, it's not meet that I should give to you what belongs to mine. That's important. There's a bunch of people out there that they think that what God's people are given here belong to them out there. It doesn't. The purpose of God's people coming here is to make sure that we get the gospel out, that we get the message, the soul-saving message that saved Austin, that saved me, that saved you. That's what's supposed to go out. That's what we're supposed to be doing. If we were going to help all the poor, we'd never help them all. They're always going to be there. Jesus had that conversation with Judas. Remember Judas? He's like, when Mary Magdalene came in and washed and poured a year's wages worth of ointment on Jesus' feet, and He's like, that could have been used to give to the poor. You see, He didn't understand something. The poor need the gospel, not extra stuff all the time. And we get mixed up. We think that the giving of extra stuff is the gospel. The giving, what we have, is the gospel, the good news, the saving power that comes through Jesus Christ. When we tell you that there's only one way you can go to heaven, through Jesus Christ. If you're trying because of good works, you're not going to make it. If you think you could get there because of who your parents were, you're not going to make it. You only get there because of who Jesus is. And what He has done. Not our works. How do you follow Jesus? You do like this woman. You come broken. You fall down on your knees. You understand exactly where you stand with Almighty God. You understand your true condition. You know, sometimes I've heard some people say that when Jesus refers to her as a dog, and they're like, man, that Jesus, that's rough. That's mean. He wasn't just calling her a mutt. He was helping her to understand something. That she wasn't a Jew. It wasn't time for them yet. If you're going to look that word up in Strong's Concordance, it would actually say puppy. He recognized her helplessness. He recognized her need. The thing is He wanted her to recognize her need. That He didn't owe her anything. But she recognized something about Creator God. Is that because of who He is, because of His love, because of His mercy, that whenever His children have the cup out and God is filling it up, what did the psalmist say? He says, my cup runneth over. Do you know why your cup runs over? so that those that are without can share in your blessings. That's why your cup runs over. And people don't understand that. But as a Christian, you need to understand that. And that when your cup runs over, you share. You share the blessing that God has given to you to help those where you can, when you can. But they've got to understand, they're not owed anything. And what are we looking for? We need to see it just like Jesus did. We need to see, are they broken? Are they humbling themselves before God? Do they have that contrite spirit? Do they recognize their position with God? Do they recognize their position? Do you see what she did? She said, "Yea, Lord, I agree with you. I am messed up. I've not been living right. Salvation was of the Jews." She's like, I get it. I understand it. But Lord, I need help. And you're the only answer. And she recognizes the fact, I have a great need and there's only one person who could do it, and that is Jesus. And she says, "Jesus, I just want a crumb from your children's table." And she recognized where she was, who she was. You know what we have a generation of today? Look with me in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Look in verse 13 with me. Or I'm sorry, go to 14, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Do you see the heart that the Laodiceans needed, but they didn't have? They didn't recognize that they needed to be born again, that they needed their sins forgiven. They thought everything is okay with what I'm doing, so long as whatever, so long as God, as you don't make me go do something over there, just let me live my life, let me be who I am. God is not satisfied with who you are. It's all over our songs. It's what's being preached today. God is not satisfied with who you are. He wants you to change. He wants you to be born again. He wants you to repent of your sins. No longer be lukewarm. Be hot or cold, so that you can either be refreshing like a cold sip of water in a hot summer day, or you can be a hot cup of coffee in the wintertime. He wants you to be worth something and to do something with your life. And not try to have this entitlement attitude that's taken over our nation, but to understand that God has saved you for a reason, for a purpose, and He desires you for a reason and for a purpose. His purpose, not your purpose. We get caught up on, well, it's my life, my will. If you've been born again, you're bought with a price. You're sold to Jesus. Are you really sold to Jesus? We like to sing that song, "Victory in Jesus." He sought me and He bought me. Do you understand what it means to be bought? It means that you're a servant, you're a slave to Jesus Christ. What does a slave do? Whatever the master tells you. And that's our job, to do what the master tells us to do. He He's the Master. He's the Savior. It's time that we come away from the lukewarmness and we recognize Jesus like this woman did, and we recognize our pitiful state like she recognized hers, her helpless state. You know, she walked away fulfilled that day because she recognized something. It wasn't about her any longer. It's about who Jesus is. It's about His commanding voice. It's about her life about to be radically changed because of the words of Jesus Christ. Not just the words to cast out the demon from her daughter, but the words of Jesus being willing to step across the aisle and help somebody who was different. Somebody who recognized their need. They recognized their position. You know, that I can just imagine how hard it was for that woman to see that need like she, her need like she did, the courage that she had to do, to go through, to be able to seek Jesus, to stand before Him and beg for her daughter's healing. You see, she recognized something. She recognized true hunger. You know, Americans, they think it's all about eating food most of the time. But the Scripture says in Matthew chapter 5, in verse 6, it says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." You see, she just wanted some crumbs. She's like, "Jesus, I could fill up on the crumbs. I don't need much. I don't need to be made fat. I just need the crumbs." And they hunger and thirst after righteousness. Do you know how hard it is to find people that are hungry and thirsty for righteousness? Do you know what that would look like? It would look like somebody who just can't get enough coming to church because that's where there's preaching, that's where there's teaching, that's where they have an opportunity to be able to share what God has laid on their heart that week. Maybe they can help somebody who's going through a hard time. Maybe they can say the right words. But they hunger and thirst after righteousness. They're in their Bible all the time. They'll drive you nuts because all they want to talk about is the Bible. They want to talk about what God has done for them in their life. That's what it means to hunger and thirst after righteousness. When was the last time you found a hungry person like that? Are you hungry like that? That's what it means to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And she was so hungry. She was willing to settle for crumbs. You know, it kind of reminded me as I was studying this morning that sometimes that we have that desire to be filled with something. We know our country's in a mess. Everybody agrees it's in a mess. All of them. From the president all the way down to, you know, the youngest kid here. They're like, man, that's really true. Probably you go to the nursery, you'll find somebody. Their life's in a mess. If they could speak, they would tell you, my life is messed up. There looks like there's no hope. The only hope is Jesus Christ. But what people are looking for, they're not hungry. They're not looking for righteousness and holiness. They're looking for something that gives them other gratification. You ever seen kids during Halloween? They got that big old bucket of candy. Man, they won't eat a good meal for 3 days until all that candy's gone, will they? You see, they're hungry, but they're filling it full of junk. Thinking, oh, that's gonna give me what I need. That's gonna supply the nourishment. You know, it doesn't matter how many Snicker bars in there and how much it really satisfies you, it doesn't give you the nutrients that you need. You'll end up getting sick. We need a hunger and thirst after God's righteousness, His holiness, His Word. Applying it to our heart. Coming before Him, falling down on our knees, broken, humble and contrite, knowing that He has the answers, making our requests known to Him. You know, this woman, I know it was hard for her. And I would bet that some of you have been there, that you could recognize this woman's problem in her life or one very similar. You could say, I relate to that. Maybe you would even say, I resemble those remarks. Brother Mitch, I get this woman. I've been there. But you know what happened after that? God met her need. And then came something else. Now comes the time that she needs to step on the other side of that aisle. She needs to be like Jesus. You know, we were reading a scripture in Sunday school this morning. I forget it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10, I think is what it was. But it says, but we go through things. We go through a lot of things in our life. Why do we go through things in our life? So that we can represent Jesus to this lost and dying world. You ever wonder why bad things happen to good people? That's why. Because there's a bunch of bad things happening to bad people and they don't know the answer. They don't know where to turn to. But when they see God's people going through the same thing, though they're troubled, they're not distressed. Though they're persecuted, they're not forsaken. Though they're cast down, they're not destroyed. And the lost world sees that. It doesn't mean that you're going to go through that all the time. But sometimes you will. Why would you have to go through that? So that the world can see Jesus in you. And they can see you walking with Him, talking with Him, just like our song says. He's walking with me. He's talking with me, even though things are bad. Yet I'm not discouraged. I know God's with me and He's got, and it confuses me. Yes. I don't know why I'm going through it. But God does. And He wants us to be able to represent Him to this lost and dying world. By the way, about 50% of Jonesboro is in that category. They testify to themselves, that they do not believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They're basically agnostic, maybe atheist. They don't believe in Jesus. That's Jonesboro, Arkansas. 56% are confessing Christians. That's the latest statistics. That means about 45% do not know Jesus. And we are Christ's representatives. Yeah, we're becoming fewer and fewer in number. And I don't even know how many of that 56% is in church this morning. I bet if they took a statistic of that, it would probably be less than 30%. That we are not representing Jesus Christ well at all. We're failing. But we've got to get over it. If we're not that woman in desperate need today, we need to be the Jesus Christ to those people today so that they can know where to find the answers. Jesus Christ can't be hid, even if He's in you. If you could go out in the public and people can't tell that you're a Christian, there's a problem. How can Jesus Christ be hid inside of you? Have you ever thought about that? How can you hide Jesus from your co-workers and your friends and your family? It shouldn't be possible. He couldn't be hid to this woman. And He was trying to hide because Jesus cannot be hid. He comes out just like the song that we sing, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to Let It Shine." There's a problem that the song is a little bit theologically off because that light can't be hid. You'd put a bushel over it, it would glow past the bushel. It would light the bushel up on fire. That's what it would do. That's what Jesus Christ does inside of a person. Is that you? Are you aware of those seeking God and needing Jesus? Jesus recognized that. Christ was the humble servant too, willing to help this woman during her distressed time of need, being able to fill the need where she could. He had mercy on her. Didn't he have mercy on her? Nobody else could help her. God wants us to have mercy for the lost and to help them see themselves through God's lenses. That doesn't mean that we judge them, but that means that we help them judge themselves properly. That they're not okay. Maybe they're like the Laodiceans. They think that they're okay, but they're not. Do you know some people like that? I know a lot of people like that. And remember, God wants your cup. Your cup of thanksgiving. Your cup of blessing. When He's filling it up, He wants you to let it overflow. And He wants you to bless others. To comfort others. You know, I was thinking about that woman. She's saying, yea, but the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. Right out from under the children. You know, we had the brotherhood here this week. And I don't know if you were back there cleaning up. But I'd say most of those people, they would say they're God's children. But they're messy eaters, aren't they, Brother Comer? God's children just seem to be messy eaters. We leave a lot of crumbs on the floor. There's some people out there that need those crumbs. It's okay to be a messy eater. That shows that there's children in the house. And that they're hungry and they're thirsting after righteousness. And while they're eating God's righteousness and His holiness, the crumbs are falling off of their food and it's landing on the floor for those who don't know Jesus yet. You see, that's what we got. We've got to be like that. We've got to recognize those needs. You know, I bet today I didn't miss anybody in this category. You're one or the other. You're either that woman who's in need, or you're one of those children who's a messy eater. There's really only two categories there. Who are you today? I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what's going on in your heart. But if you're that woman today, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus just like she did. Fall down on your knees, humble and contrite. Recognize that you're a sinner and repent of those sins and turn from the evil. Tell Jesus, cast the evil out and put your righteousness and your holiness in. Let me eat of the crumbs of your righteousness and holiness. And if you're a child of God, be like Jesus. Recognize the need. Help supply the need. Look for opportunities to show God's mercy. And know it's okay to be a messy eater. As a song leader and pianist come, would you pray with me? Dear Lord, I just want to thank You for this passage. I want to thank You for the lessons that we can learn from this woman and from Jesus. You know, I wish I could say I was always the person who was like Jesus, but I find myself often like this woman, needing help that only the Master can solve. And I'm so thankful that You don't hide Yourself from me, that You're always right there where I can find You. When I'm going through the trials of this world, You're there to help me to provide the need. To give me the wisdom to get through those circumstances. Just the courage, the boldness. But then there's other times when it's not me, it's someone else. Lord, would you help me to be more like you? Help me to be able to show this world Jesus Christ through my life, through my words, through my actions, through the way that I act. Thank you, Lord, for everything. If there's anyone here who doesn't know you, Lord, would you touch their heart? Would you draw them to yourself just like you promised? Help them, Lord, to seek your face and rely on you with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.